Hey, welcome to Beyond the Stacks, the BAPL podcast. I'm your host, Executive Director Josh Burke, and my guest today is Jamie Howe. Kick it, Jamie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, how about that? This is the first time we've had music on the podcast. Well, sometimes we have music, but not music coming from someone's mouth. Jamie Howe is a vocal percussionist, and the reason he's on the podcast is because his band, Keystone Acapella, is performing at BAPL for a holiday concert on December 23rd at 2 p.m. So come to that. They played at the library 2 years ago, and people still talk about it. It was like the biggest, it was one of the biggest crowds we've ever had for a library event. It was packed, and everyone was smiling, and it was a wonderful time. And I'm so glad that you're coming back again. And also, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, we're really excited to come back. We had a blast last time.
We're at my house, by the way. Jamie works during the day like an old person. And also, he lives near me. So we're just recording in my house. And I have a house full of children and dogs. So there might be some interesting background noises. Or like a dog's tail might just sweep the laptop off onto the floor. It could happen. But anyway, yeah, thanks for coming over. And so, yeah, tell us real quick about, like, just tell me about this band and, like, what it is and what you do.
All right. Well, Keystone Acapella, there's six of us, a six-person acapella group. We've been around since 2011, and we've been performing professionally, you know, since then, doing a bunch of gigs all around Pennsylvania. Usually we stick mostly to Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania, kind of in the Philly area. And we've been doing a holiday show every year for the last, you know, last 6 years. And it's just all holiday Christmas music. And it's a separate set that we do from, you know, beginning of December until Christmas. And then for the rest of the year, we have a completely different set that we do. And it's all a cappella music. It's, you know, five singers and vocal percussionists. That's me. It's a lot of fun.
How did you guys like meet up and get together?
Well, there've been a number of us who sang together over the years. My wife is one of the people involved, so I've known her for quite some time. But we all actually sang together as part of a larger a cappella experience down in Philly called A Cappella Project Philadelphia, which just forms every year and has 20 to 30 people rotating membership. And they get together for the summer. And at the end of the summer, they do a one concert for charity. They raise money for a performing arts scholarship. And after doing this for a couple of years, there were a number of us who said, hey, we want to keep doing this, but we want to do it kind of in a smaller group setting and maybe take this in a professional direction.
That's awesome. And so you live here in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. And your wife presumably also does. And then the other guys live just like around Philly area? Or
yeah, three of us live.
I think it might be hard to put a group like that together. It's a specialized kind of skill, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of commitment to make it to keep the group going. It's we rotate rehearsals between the kind of the three areas. So every week, at least one or two people have like a 3 hour round trip to do a rehearsal. But we love it and we love who we've formed the group with. I mean, it's still the same group that we formed originally with. We do have some substitutes who come in from time to time. We're going to have a substitute tenor for the show that we're doing at BAPL. But we've performed with him. He's always with us for our holiday gigs because one of our members travels a lot during December. So we have a kind of a ringer that we bring in for the holiday shows.
Now, you haven't always been involved in a cappella music, I happen to know. I've known Jamie for a long time. I know you. I knew him as a drummer, like a punk rock drummer in like regular bands where you hit the drums with your hands.
Yeah,
I explained it good.
That's how drumming works. No, I started out as a drummer. I've been drumming since I was in fifth grade. As you said, it was mostly punk bands. Kept drumming through college. But it was
like
really,
alternative bands, all different. Cause I've heard some of your bands in college, different types. But
yeah, it wasn't straight. It wasn't straight punk.
But like
rock
music.
It was rock. Rock or at least quirky, maybe a little strange sometimes.
Yeah.
I got involved with a cappella in college just because it's hard to have a drum set when you're living in the dorms.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to do something. And I got involved with a glee club because I was looking for something to do and just wandering around the music building and bumped into the director who was like, you should
do the Glee Club.
And this, this is when you were in Penn State? Or
this was at Penn State.
And so you joined that as a singer, not as a percussionist.
Yeah, just as a singer. And through that, I got involved with an a cappella group called the Dreamers and started singing with them. And that was kind of where someone exposed me to vocal percussion. I saw some people performing from other groups where they were mostly hitting their bodies, thumping on their chests and making kind of hi-hat noises. Bobby McFerrin style, very much so. It was very simple. Nice. I mean, it was a lot of just a... That was me slapping my chest, and that was pretty much what it is or what it was. But being a drummer, I was like, okay, I kind of had an in there. I wasn't really a singer. I'd sung a little bit in high school, a little bit in college, but I was like, ooh, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds more like what you're used to.
Yeah,
but was it hard to then? I mean, you're like a full on like beatbox like was that a whole like. Being a drummer, like, did that easily lend itself into knowing how to do that? Or how does one become that?
How does one go from not to doing it?
Yeah.
Well, being a drummer helped with the rhythmic aspects of it.
That makes sense.
And, I mean, there are two schools of thought on this kind of vocal percussion. There's beatboxing, which tended to come out of the hip-hop crowds, which was kind of imitating a turntable, you know, used by a DJ. And then there's the vocal percussion style, which I do, which is much more imitating what a drummer is doing behind a drum set. And so there are parallels. There are things that work together for that. But because I was already a drummer, it kind of let me figure out, all right, I want a snare drum sound here. I want a kick drum sound here. I want a hi-hat sound here. But for the noises themselves, it was just a matter of just doing them over and over again and then getting bored of the sounds that I could make.
Yeah. Because you learn a new one.
Yeah. And you know, back when I was in college, we didn't have microphones for our performances. So we'd be in lecture halls and I had to make sounds that were loud enough for people to hear. So I was really, I was just doing three sounds most of the time. I was doing a hi-hat sound, just a tss. I was doing a snare drum sound, which was just, we call it K-snare. You know, and then a bass drum sound, which went tss. So a lot of what I was doing was just going tss.
That's pretty cool, though.
And so it was just that over and over again, modifying it a little bit for the song.
You found some like fills in there?
Yeah, a little bit. Usually it was just a crash cymbal or something. You'd say, that sort of thing.
Nice.
But there were these kind of loud, sibilant sounds that would carry. yeah. And over time, you start getting bored of some of those sounds. So I developed a snare that I call it. It's called a P snare. So instead of saying a K, which is kind of a K sound, P snare is much more about you making a P with your lips and going. Because I'm a drummer, I put a little F on the end there, which simulates the snare sound. Because in a snare drum, you've got the metal underneath that kind of rattles. So instead of just putting a P at the end, it goes.
Yeah. It also sounds like an electronic drum, kind of.
It can. That's, it's simulating that particular sound.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever ever perform with a rapper? Like ever beatbox?
I have. Actually, in college, I was really good friends with a beatboxer. This professional beatboxer named Shota K. You should look him up and check him out online. He's amazing. He's in Maryland right now. And he is a fantastic beatboxer. And we were just in college at the same time. And he ran local hip hop radio station. And we became friends. And he invited me in to do some ciphers where they would beatbox and then have rappers come in and freestyle.
Nice.
And so I got to do that. And he and I actually formed a group for 2 years. We had a group called Larynx, which was just a collective of different people who did vocal percussion or beatboxing. And we got together. It was roughly like 6 to 8 people, depending on the time or who was there. And we would just make up all of these percussion songs and sometimes have rappers. We actually opened for Nelly once.
What?
Yeah, at a stadium tour just for one show.
Yeah.
Largest crowd I've ever performed for. He's really a beatboxer and I'm really a vocal percussionist. But we learned, like, we'd get together and play off each other. So I don't do the turntable, scratchy
like imitating my scratch. I could do it a little bit, right. But
not putting you on the spot.
No, not for that. But so what that's really the kind of thing.
That was me. That was me, that one.
I liked it. But so what he and I would do is I'd usually lay down like a drum beat. Like if someone was using a turntable, one record would be just the beat. And then he'd go over top of it with some sort of scratching.
Yeah.
So those two would layer on top of each other. He'd do the actual vocal scratching thing, which I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to do too much.
That's cool, though. Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me then a little bit about those shows you started doing with Keystone Acapella. What kind of, not the holiday show, but what is the typical show like that you guys do?
Well, the shows we do during the year, it's, they vary wildly. We do everything from, you know, coffee house shows, kind of intimate gatherings, up through theater shows.
Hmm.
We're performing for, you know, 600-700 people and doing a full, like, hour-long concert,
yeah,
essentially. It's all, they're all songs that were arranged by members of Keystone, taking songs, existing songs mostly, and kind of arranging them for our voices.
What's an example of a song that we might know?
Let's see. Well, we do a lot of Sarah Bareilles songs. Everybody in the group really loves Sarah Bareilles. So I Choose You is a song that we do a lot.
Is that a song with piano? And like, you do the instruments, or are you just like...
Yeah, it's entirely vocal.
Does someone imitate a guitar? I don't know how you would do
No, that. No, that's a fair question. And some groups in acapella do. Oh,
yeah, I've
do
seen those
that.
Guys like wah, like playing guitar.
Yes, that's we're
I've seen those guys.
Our particular style tends not to lend itself well to like a near sort of pretending to actually be the guitar.
Yeah.
No, our two main arrangers are really great at kind of capturing the essence of a song while people are singing it. Like, with the exception of me doing the drums, everybody's singing. A lot of the time in the background on oohs and does and do's, that sort of thing. Or singing homophonically. We're all singing the words together, but just on, you know, on different notes.
So those harmonies sort of give that full sound of like a, like you'd have accompaniment, but you don't need it.
Right.
I'm curious how, like, because I, you know, I play guitar and I've been in bands a lot, and I'm trying to picture what your practices are like. I don't know why. It just seems like I can't quite picture it.
Well, for our practices, usually, what we do, we get together and we always have dinner first. We like to, you know, relax and see each other. And then usually we do 5 to 10 minutes of vocal warm-ups, singing together, singing chords, typical vocal exercises a vocalist might do. And then we usually work on new music where we'll get out the sheet music or our
iPads.
So you
perform from sheet music like an instrumentalist would do.
Yeah. Yep. That's all our arrangements are
it's hard
written
for me to
out.
Picture. It makes sense though. Yeah.
Well, everyone's but mine. No one arranges the vocal percussion.
No, you just have to hear it. And feel it and do it.
Yeah. The process is usually they trust that what I'll do is I'll listen to the group kind of develop what they're doing and then build the percussion around that to help them with that. But so we'll run through a couple of songs, just reading the music, seeing if it works out, going back and fixing some spots. Then we usually spend some time reviewing existing songs, just doing stuff that we like or things that might need a little bit of work, where then we'll sing through, you know, maybe 3 to 5 songs or anything new or anything we need to brush up on for a gig. Our catalog right now is something like 100 different songs.
Wow.
We just keep every year we keep learning new music. And then depending on the rehearsal, we might spend some time working with microphones, working with in-ear monitors, just getting our tech all set up.
Get that stuff ready.
Yeah.
And then have you gone into the studio?
We have. We're actually currently working on our 4th studio album.
Oh, wow.
And if you want to check it out, we have a Kickstarter right now just to help us with the last production is really expensive, especially things like, things like the actual pressing of physical CDs and song licensing and that sort of thing. So if you're interested in listening to what Keystone's doing right now, you can check us out on Kickstarter, look for Keystone Acapella.
And I'll put a link right in the blog here.
Fantastic. But yeah, we have one studio album, non-holiday already out, and two holiday albums already out. And we've been working with the same studio for a while. There are actually studios that specialize in a cappella music.
Really?
Yeah. And fantastic company called The Vocal Company out of Rochester, New York, that we've worked with. And this will be our fourth time working
with them. You'll go up there to record?
We have. The last album, though, we've actually flew the engineer out to us.
Oh, wow.
We set up a studio at our bass's house. Hmm. And so she would come there, and then we'd all go and record there. You don't need a whole lot of space for a cappella recording. You just need one vocal booth. But they do have fantastic facilities up in Rochester.
And so then how did you start doing holiday music? I mean, it seems like a perfect fit, but and I know it's a popular show, but I just wonder how that sort of got started.
Well, in our first year of existence, maybe it was during the summer, at some point in August, we actually got a holiday gig. We only knew like five songs at that point. And we got hired to do, we were doing kind of lobby music at a performance of the Nutcracker. Like we were performing for the people as they were waiting.
As they come to, and go, yeah.
And we thought, okay, we should learn some songs then. So we learned a bunch of carols, like stuff that anybody could pick up out of a songbook.
It's already there.
And our arrangers got inspired, and they wrote just some new arrangements. They wrote a really funny arrangement of Frosty the Snowman, which has kind of background lyrics where people in the background are saying stuff.
And he got a good bass. The guy's got a good bass voice. Does he do Frosty?
Yeah. Our bass, Joe Gooch.
The Gooch.
That's right. He does our Frosty.
That's pretty good. That was a hit last time, I remember.
Yeah, and just Christmas music, some of the absolute best melodies that have ever been written in Western music are in Christmas music. And it makes sense because a lot of these songs have existed for 60, 70 plus years.
It's pretty catchy if it's going to
stick in your
ear. They do. They all stick in your ear like immediately. So
I mean, a lot of bad Christmas music has fallen by the wayside over the years. So we're just left with the really good stuff.
I know the good ones. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and it was just so much fun. And it's also... it's a good time to get gigs because people like to go see.
It's perfect.
Holiday
it's
music.
And you have some sort of non-classics, right? Don't you have some sort of quirky new holiday songs?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We do, Alien for Christmas.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Is that
a song that, who wrote that song?
Not us.
That's not an original song.
I'm stupidly blanking on that song.
Right no, now. It's okay. I just wondered if you were like, if you guys ever wrote your own songs or focus on arranging existing tunes?
Mostly we focused on kind of giving original arrangements of existing tunes. We've played around with some original music, but so far we haven't recorded any of that. So, and really with the holiday stuff, we're sticking with existing.
Yeah, there's so many good ones to choose from, and people just love hearing them. And it was really, it's hard to explain like how full and interesting the sound can be without any instruments when you have six voices performing together. And you know, I really have rarely seen so many like happy faces ever in a show. Like at the library, we had at least 200 people there, which is people were sitting on the like floor, like we were out of chairs, and I think 100% of the people were happy. There's something about this music that just makes people happy, and something about the way you guys perform it that just brings a lot of joy to the crowd. So we are really excited to be having you back. And the date again is December 23rd, 2 p.m. It's a Sunday. The library is opening up just for a special holiday concert here. So we'll be right there at the first floor of the main library. And we are very excited to have Keystone a cappella come back and perform at the library one more time. So, you know what that means. Take us out. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you for coming in to the recording studio. That is my living room. All right. And we will see you on the 23rd. Happy holidays.